And this guy says that since all the things mentioned in this passage pertain to the earth, and since mankind still has dominion over all the creatures and the resources of this earth, Adam could not have possibly lost his dominion over the earth. Okay, all that Adam lost was his spiritual life and his natural life. Now, apparently, one of the false doctrines that's being taught in the Word of Faith cult, which is the movement this guy came out of, is that when Adam gave his dominion to Satan as a result of the fall, this, quote, locked God out of the earth. It locked God out of the earth. In other words, God gave dominion of the earth to Adam, transferred that dominion of the earth to Satan when he fell, and now God's locked out of the earth because the earth now belongs to Satan. It's his dominion, his domain. And of course, that's a stupid idea. It has no scriptural support. I mean, was God locked out of the earth when he gave Adam dominion over it? Did Adam dominion over the earth mean that God gave him the title deed to the earth? Did God have to ask Adam permission to do anything in the earth when he wanted to do something before he could do it because Adam had dominion over the earth now? Of course not. You know, those are all absurd ideas. Well, the same applies to what happened after Adam fell. Whatever dominion Satan received as a result of Adam's fall, it changed nothing with regards to who actually owns the earth, okay? The Bible is very clear to who owns this earth. I'm going to give you some scriptures quick. Just a sample from all through the Bible. Okay, Exodus 19:5 says, "Now therefore, if you obey my voice," talking to Israel, "indeed and keep my covenant, then you should be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for the earth, all the earth is mine." Deuteronomy 10:14 says, "Behold, the heavens and the heavens of the heavens is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also with all that therein is." Job 41:10-11 is a new American standard here. It says, "No one is so fierce that he dares to arouse him." That's Leviathan. He's talking about the Leviathan there, that whatever that creature is. It says, "Then who then is he that can stand before me?" That is the Lord. "Who has given to me that I should repay him? Whatever is under the whole heavens is mine." Psalms 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." Psalms 50:11-12 says, "I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof." And a New Testament passage correlates with that is 1 Corinthians 10:28. Paul says, "But if any man say unto you, this meat is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Okay, so it's very clear all throughout the scripture, this earth belongs to God. It never belonged to Adam and Satan. Okay? However, the authority to subdue the earth and to use the earth and to make kingdoms upon the earth, that was given to Adam. Okay? Also, a free will was given to Adam, as well as to all the angels in heaven. God's desire was that Adam would willingly submit to him and follow his will as he subdued the earth, as he used the earth, and as we would eventually build a righteous kingdom upon the earth. Because it's going to populate. See, he said, "Populate the earth." And as you populate the earth, you're going to have to set up some kind of government, all right? So if Adam would have stayed in union with God, it would have been a righteous government that came on the earth. So the situation isn't one like where God turned the title deed of the earth over to Adam, and then Adam submitted to Satan and turned the title deed over to him, and now God's locked out of the earth because Satan now owns the title deed to the earth, okay? The situation is more like this. God built a house, and he let a family named mankind come and live in that house for free and use it as their own, okay? But God's still the owner of the house. He still retains the title deed to the house. And one day, the family who's living in the house, they allow an alien being to move in with them, and that alien is strong with them. He takes complete control of the house and all the people in the house. The alien overpowers them, and he makes them slaves in their own house, in the house they're living in, okay? And then he establishes his own business or kingdom, which operates from that house, and he makes the whole family carry out the affairs of his business, okay? And this is all possible because the Creator gave the family free wills. They all had a choice to freely submit to the one who built the house and who let them live in the house rent-free, or they had a choice to submit to the alien intruder and become slaves to that alien and to the business, you know, his business, his kingdom, as he took control of them and took control of the house, okay? Now, God could forcibly put a stop to all this thing, the whole situation, anytime he wanted to, because the house belongs to him. Okay, it doesn't belong to the family. It doesn't belong to the alien. But God had a program that he conceived in his mind wherein he provided a way for each one of the members of that family to escape the family's in if they will freely choose to yield to God and serve him. He'll save them from the dominion of that alien. And they'll be able to live in that same house right alongside all the rest of the family, but they'll no longer be under the authority of the alien who is now running that house. Okay? Satan does not have dominion over the earth in the sense that he now owns the earth and can legally stop God from intervening in the affairs of the earth and in the affairs of men. Okay, that's a lie. That's the lie that's propagated by the Dominionist camp. And according to this guy, it's also being propagated in the Word of Faith camp. But the answer to that lie is not another lie. The answer to that lie is not the lie that Satan has no dominion over the earth at all. You see? That's not only stupid and unscriptural, it doesn't match the realities of life. You have to be living in some kind of religious fantasy world to think that Satan doesn't rule the kingdoms of this world. I'll tell you that. Now, I'd like to ask that Bible teacher or any other, quote, discernment ministry who denies that Satan has dominion over this earth to explain to me just how Lucifer became the, quote, prince of this world, John 12:31, John 14:30, and John 16:11, and the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. I mean, did God make him the prince of the world? Did God make him the god of this world, or what? Now, I'd like to digress here to show you just how hypocritical some of these Bible teachers could be and why it frustrates me, okay? Here you have a guy who's exposing how C. Peter Wagner twists and distorts the scripture to fit his own error, yet he is doing the same exact thing, all right? At one point, he says, he realizes Satan is referred to as the prince of this world, the prince of this world, right? But according to him, that term, the prince of this world, doesn't really mean what we might think it means at first glance. No, the term prince, he says, doesn't really mean a ruler over a kingdom. Prince simply means, in the Greek, a leader or a commander. Also, the term world there simply means cosmos or the world system in the Greek. So this guy's trying to reduce the impact of the term prince of this world from meaning that Satan is the ruler of this world to the idea that Satan is simply a leader of the world system. Bible teachers trying to say that Satan only has influence over the world through unsaved people. Okay, Satan doesn't actually have his own authority to rule over the earth or over any of the earth's kingdoms. Man is still really in control of everything. But he can be manipulated, right? I'm going to show you something in Matthew 12. Matthew 12, 25 through 26. Jesus was being accused of doing the works of God through the power of Satan. And he says, and Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? How shall his kingdom then stand? His kingdom, okay? So the idea that Satan doesn't really have a kingdom, he's just an influencer over a world system through people, through Adam, who still maintains control of this world. You see, that's a lie. It's a lie. The scripture clearly states that Satan has a kingdom, and he is the ruler of that kingdom, and that invisible kingdom that he's a ruler over is being manifested all around you and me on this planet every day. Every day. Oh, and by the way, Mr. Bible Teacher, Satan's also called the God of this world. Small g, G-O-D, the God of this world. In the case of reality, if that term doesn't hit you, maybe this will. The term God, with a small g in 2 Corinthians 4:4, is theos, the Greek word theos, T-H-E-O-S. And it's the same exact Greek term that's used for God, capital G, throughout the whole New Testament. Okay? Throughout the whole New Testament. Theos He is the theos of this world. Okay? Satan's more than just an influencer of men. He is the ruler of his own kingdom, and that kingdom rules over the kingdoms of this earth. All right? He's the ruler, not just a leader, not just an influencer. He is the ruler of this present world and this earth, because the dominion of this world and the dominion of this earth was given to Adam. And Adam voluntarily delivered that dominion over to him. Personally, what's happening is this Bible teacher is trying to twist the Greek to support his error, just like C. Peter Wagner tries to twist the English to support his error. All right? Now, do you think God's really pleased when, in the name of exposing error, ministers use the same tactics all these false apostles and false prophets do? Personally, I think that many of these discernment ministries are in for a very rude awakening, all right, when they stand before the Lord. But I'm getting off the track here. My question really is this, boils down to this. Who delivered the kingdoms of this world over to Satan to begin with? I mean, who gave Satan the kingdoms of this world anyway? Do y'all realize the scripture says very clearly the kingdoms of this world were delivered to Satan? They were delivered to Satan? In the temptation, in Luke's version, Luke chapter 4, 4 through 8, this is what it says. And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up to a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whoever I give it," all right? Listen to it again. "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whosoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, and it shall be thine." And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Okay? So Satan says, all these kingdoms, all this power over the world, it's been delivered unto me, and I can give it to whoever I want to, and I'll give it to you if you bow down and worship me. And Jesus didn't turn around and say, "Hey, wait a minute, the kingdoms of this world are Adam's." Or, "Hey, wait a minute, the kingdoms of this world are my father's. You're a liar." He didn't challenge him at all, because it's true. What he said was true. Somebody delivered the kingdoms of this world over to the devil. As the scripture plainly says that. Now, Satan doesn't own this planet any more than Adam owned it. But he does have power over all the kingdoms that exist on the planet. All right, all those kingdoms are his because they were delivered unto him by someone. Now, either the kingdoms of this world were delivered unto Satan by God, or the kingdoms of this world were delivered unto Satan by Adam. Okay? But regardless of who you think delivered the kingdoms of this world over to Satan, you can't argue that those kingdoms were delivered over to him by someone. That's how he became the God or the ruler of this world. Now, let me just give you two quick scriptures here. John 8:34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is what? The servant of sin." Whosoever commit, that doesn't mean when you fall into a sin once or twice. When you practice sin. He who's practicing sin is the servant of sin. All right? Romans 6:16, Paul said the same basic thing. He says, "Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Okay, you see, the issue of dominion has to do with authority. Who has the authority? According to Jesus and Paul, the one we obey is the one who has authority over us. The one we obey is the one who has authority over us. They said very clearly that you and I are servants, servants of that which we obey. That's a kingdom law, my friends. It applies to everyone, sinner and saint alike. The one you and I are obeying is the one you and I are serving. And the one you and I are serving is the one who has authority or dominion over us. Now, whatever dominion God gave Adam, it became Satan's as well. It became Satan's as well once Adam obeyed Satan instead of obeying God. Technically speaking, Adam didn't lose all his dominion over the earth, because mankind still exercises dominion over the earth, you see. We still exercise our dominion over the resources of this earth. We still exercise our dominion over the animal creation. But We no longer exercise that dominion alone. Mankind is a slave to an alien force who has taken control of his house, who has taken control of his planet. We don't call the shots anymore. The God of this world calls the shots, and we follow his orders. That goes all the way up, even beyond the Illuminati. Beyond the Illuminati and the Rockefellers and the CFR, all that, all those people are obeying spirits, demon spirits. They were telling them what to do, and telling them how to do it, and giving them the wisdom to do it. We don't call the shots. The God of this world calls the shots, and we follow his orders. If you're not a Christian, mankind, the Adamic race, has become something like akin to a political figurehead, like the Queen of England or something. You know, it's not the Queen of England who actually exercises daily authority or dominion over the Kingdom of England. It's not the Queen who makes the decisions and the laws. She's just a figurehead. And it's been that way with us since we fell, since Adam fell. In the beginning, mankind was given authority over the earth, not ownership, but authority. And that authority included dominion over any kingdoms that will be built by mankind. And once Adam submitted to Satan, the authority regarding all future kingdoms was co-opted. It was co-opted. So Satan remains the god of this world. And denying that reality, it's not going to help anyone. Not going to help anyone, all right? Denied, it won't help people stay away from the era of dominionism. It won't help people stay away from the word of faith cult. Because anyone who really knows the scripture, and who isn't already one of this guy's groupies, they're going to ignore what he says. Because he's teaching something that goes directly against the clear and evident meaning of the written word. Okay, somebody gave the devil the kingdoms of this world. Somebody gave him all the power and authority over this world. And those who really love the truth, they're going to discern that denying that Satan is the god of this world, or the rule of this world, is just as much an error as all the garbage C. Peter Wagner's propagating. You got the pot calling the kettle black. Even though the Lord Jesus, who thoroughly defeated Satan at the cross, he did not put an end to Satan's dominion as a god of this world, even though he overcame him, took away his armor. He still didn't take away that dominion. Satan's dominion over this earth is not only real, it's going to remain unshakable and unmovable, and there's nothing anyone can do to overthrow it. Nothing. Until the time appointed by God. Okay? And the good news is, the time appointed by God is, I believe, fast approaching. Okay? Very soon, I believe Satan's dominion over this earth will be broken once and for all. I want to read you a scripture from Revelation quick. Revelation 8, 14 through 15. Talking about these three woes with the last trumpets. The three last woes are the three last trumpets, I think, right? Anyway, it says, the second woe was passed, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Okay? At the sound of the seventh trumpet, the angels say, the kingdoms of this world are become, they are becoming the kingdoms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? The kingdoms of this world do not yet belong to God or to his Messiah. At least not in the sense that they want them to belong to them. The kingdoms of this world, the people on this planet, and the planet itself, all belong to God in the sense that God owns whatever he creates, you see. And since he created everything from nothing, he owns everything. But he has never forcefully exercised that kind of ownership on anyone. You know, God has never forced his ownership of us or his authority over us upon us, you see. He gently works with us and leads us and guides us to a place where we will voluntarily, willingly give our lives over to him, all right? And that's the way it has to be because he's given us all free will. God's still waiting for the day when the kingdoms of this world will become his kingdoms and the kingdoms of his Messiah, his Christ. And one of these days, they will. One of these days, Jesus is going to return and enforce God's ownership over this planet and everything on it. And that's going to be when he sets up the kingdom, the millennial kingdom. And that's what John is describing when he records these words that are spoken by the angels. At a certain point, these angels, they say, we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned. Okay? Thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned. See, God has never taken to himself his great power to reign over us. It's all been, come ye to me. You know, all you are heavy labored, come to me. You know, he's always asking and calling and, you know, leading us. It's a still small voice, a gentle shepherd, okay? One of these days, he's going to come, he's going to take his power, and he's going to exercise it, okay? He's going to force his ownership on this entire planet, and everybody on it. Now, the fact that Satan rules the kingdoms of the earth can be seen in the book of Daniel. There's one last scripture I'm going to give you. When God gives him a vision, and it's about the day of the Lord. This is a long scripture, so I'll read it here. It's Daniel chapter 7, 19 to 27. Daniel gives these visions. God gives Daniel visions of four beasts, okay? And the fourth beast is so terrible, Daniel's sick for days, seeing what it does to God's people. And this is the beast, the last beast, the last government, and the Antichrist is going to come up, the little horn is going to come out of that. So we're talking about the last government that we're facing. We're talking about the Antichrist, both the spirit and the man and the government that's rising up in our day, okay? And it was so bad, it was so wicked, it was so awful, Daniel got sick physically for days after he saw what was going on. So in chapter 7, 19 to 27, I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, breaking pieces, and stamped on the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell. Even that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. It came time that the saints possessed the kingdom, okay? Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of that kingdom are 10 kings that shall rise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time, and the times and diviner time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume it and destroy it unto the end. Take away his, that's the Antichrist, take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Okay? The very important phrase there. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven is going to be given to the people of the saints of the Most High God once God comes back. But until then, that thing belongs to Antichrist, which means it belongs to Satan. That dominion belongs to Satan. And the kingdom and the dominion under the whole earth belongs to Satan. Right now, God's still pleading with us, gently, to voluntarily leave the kingdoms of this world, which are currently being ruled over by Satan. But soon, the dominion of Satan over this earth is going to be broken and taken away. And it's going to happen at the sound of the seventh or the last trumpet when Jesus personally returns physically to earth. So the Lord's return, physical return, is seen by Daniel in that vision as the coming of the Ancient of Days. Okay, the day of the Lord is seen there as the coming of the Ancient of Days. And when the Ancient of Days comes, at that time, not 1 second before, at that time, the dominion of Satan will be, oh, this planet will be broken, and it will be taken from him, and it's going to be given to the saints. Okay, therefore, people like C. Peter Wagner and all these dominionists who say, end Satan's dominion over the earth, over society, before Antichrist comes to full power, before the Ancient of Days returns, they're all walking in major religious delusion. But the answer to Wagner's error is certainly not the error this Bible teacher propagates, which is that Satan really isn't the god of this world at all. He's just a leader who influences the people of this world. And I say, well, sorry, Mr. Bible teacher, Satan is much more than a leader who influences people. He is a ruler over his own kingdom and also over the kingdoms of this earth. And regarding this earth, somebody delivered all that power and all that authority to him. And that somebody was Adam. Satan could never have taken this earth and had power over the kingdoms of this earth like that on his own by force. Okay, God would have stopped him. The fact that the earth and all that is therein still belongs to God, in the sense that he's the creator and he owns everything he creates, that can't hide or obscure or do away with the facts and the truth the scripture presents about Satan and his power and his capabilities. So all the attempts to downplay Satan's power and downplay his capabilities in the name of exposing end time error, end time apostasy, it isn't really helping the cause of the truth, you see? You don't help the cause of truth by replacing one error with another error, all right? This guy, this Bible teacher, isn't helping people by replacing the dominionist error with his error that kind of tries to downplay and hide the reality and the power of Satan. And it's just one more nail in this guy's coffin, and he's always trying to downplay the power of Satan, you know, and exalt the power of the flesh. I say it's all, you know, it's mostly the flesh and rebellion with and all kind of stuff. It's just very disturbing that, and I'm sure everybody heard him. I'm not sure nobody probably ever picked that up, that he was preaching wrong, that he was preaching directly against what the Word says. And he gets on there and says, oh, see, Peter Wagner's denying Christ because he's preaching exactly the opposite of what the Word of God says. Well, here this guy's preaching exactly the opposite of what the Word of God says. So does that mean he's denying Christ? If not, why not? It does no good to expose error and try and correct it with more of your own stupid error. All right? And that's what most of these discernment ministries are doing, because they're fundamentalists. Or they're Pentecostals who are de facto fundamentalists. So anyway, Satan has authority over this earth. He has dominion over this earth. Okay? He doesn't own this earth. He can't stop God from intervening in the earth and intervening. He can't stop God from doing anything. But God gave dominion over this earth to Adam through his free will. And through his free will, he chose to give it to Satan. Now, if you don't think Satan has dominion over this earth and is the king of the kingdoms of this earth, you are living in a fantasy world. So, I don't know how many people bought into that, but I'm sure they all did who heard him. And I thank Jim again for sharing his testimony, because it really helps to kind of reinforce and support what I'm going to be saying about the religious spirits next week. You know, because Jim was a Christian, he was very sincere. He was giving his whole life to God. I mean, everything you could think about what a real Christian is, he was. He was a real Christian, really on fire for God. And if somebody like that can be deceived like that, then anybody can, believe me. Anybody can. It's just terrible that people think because they're sincere, or because they know the Bible, or because they have a little idea of what God's doing in the earth today, they can't be deceived. Well, another one is truth. There's a thing in Thessalonians that says, because they received not love the truth, God turned them over to illusion, to a delusion, right? But, so everybody says, oh yeah, I love the truth. So if I love the truth, I'm not going to be deceived. But really? Everybody says love the truth. But do you love the truth more than your wife? Do you love the truth more than your husband? Do you love the truth more than your pet doctrine? Do you love the truth more than being with other Christians? Do you love the truth? I mean, there's a lot of things. We all say we love the truth, but do we love the truth above everything? Every spiritual thing, every natural thing, everything has to do with our life, everything has to do with our family's life. How much do we really love the truth? I mean, it's really easy to say you love the truth when what you're believing doesn't conflict with anything you've been taught. You know, it's, when it starts conflicting with our ideas, what we've been taught, or it starts getting, starts to involve itself or get in between our relationships, well, then that's another story. And we don't know how much we love the truth, really. All right, so there's no safety mechanisms. I'm going to tell you that next week. There is no safety mechanisms that you can trust in. It's a daily walk. You can learn how to recognize your spirit somewhat, how they move, some of the things they do. But I'm telling you, it's a daily walk and a pleading with God to not turn you over to them. Okay, so actually we're going to talk about that next week. But I wanted to play that for you about Jim, because I thought it was very good. So if anybody has any comments or any suggestions or anything, go right ahead. Bill says, will the audio be printed out? Yeah, I made these in the notes tonight. Amen. We need to guard truth. That's right. Amen. Boy, I'm going to do something here. I'm going to sing you a song, and I'll tell you why in a minute. There's a reason I want to sing a song. I know the guy that wrote it, and he has a bad ending. But I want to sing this song he wrote. It's a little strange, but it's not too bad a song. It's called In Judah. It goes real low and real high, so it's hard to sing, but I want to sing this for you. In Judah is our God known, his name is great in Israel. In Judah is our God known, his name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. In Salem also the boat, the sword and the shield and the battle sailor. There break ye the arrows and the bow, the sword and the shield and the battle sailor. Thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. Thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. In Judah is our God known, his name is great in Israel. In Judah is our God known, his name is great in Israel. And Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. And Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. Arrows and the bow, the sword and the shield and the battle sailor. There break ye the arrows and the bow, the sword and the shield and the battle sailor. Thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. Thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. In Judah is our God known, his name is great in Israel. Sort of a strange song. Guy had a nice voice. He could sing low and high. But brother's name is Gary. He was from Pennsylvania. I met him in Alaska. And he ended up committing suicide. He went out in a truck in the woods, took a shotgun, and blew his head off inside his truck. And that was a spirit work that did that. He was having problems in his home. He was an elder in the church. He was a Christian. He was an elder in the church. And a spirit got a hold of that guy. He was in some kind of situation that he couldn't handle. And a spirit got a hold of that guy and tormented him to death until he committed suicide. So, I don't know, you know, what happened to him. I don't know what happens to people when they commit suicide, Christians. But I know you can be a Christian and get to a place, get such a place with these spirits that they actually convince you to take your life. You don't have to be totally possessed like the guy we were talking about last week in the Gadarene. That guy was possessed and they still couldn't make him take his life because he wanted free. But somehow this guy, this brother, got into a place where he just lost all hope for some reason or whatever was going on, I don't know. And he did that. So, when we're talking about these spirits getting a hold of you, it's not a joke. It's not a light thing. They can destroy you in very many ways. Emotionally, spiritually, destroy your family, destroy your finances, pull you away from God, and they can even sometimes destroy you physically. So it's very important that we understand what we're dealing with and not take it lightly and not let these fools, like I was talking about today, this Bible teacher, you know, try and make it like, oh, well, no, man still has dominion. Man's really calling the shots. Man's really in control. We're influenced by these spirits once in a while, but you know, man's really the one that's really calling the shots. Man's not calling the shots. Unsaved man is under total dominion of Satan. And they listen to Satan night and day, 24 hours a day, every thought, everything they do, all their motives, all their thoughts, all their desires, all their plans, they're all coming from the spirit realm. All of it. Man's just a puppet. The unsaved man is a puppet. We're living in a spiritual world, not a natural world. And Adam has no control of this earth anymore. He gave it up when he fell. The demons are controlling this earth through people. All right? Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Absolutely. Absolutely, Aaron. That's very good. Okay, anybody else have anything before we shut it down tonight? Amen, Bill. Exactly. Then you're going to record it. I hadn't thought about it. I just want to share it tonight to let you know the guy who wrote that was a brother. And Satan took him. He got to a place where those spirits had control of him and took him. I might think about recording it once my voice gets a little better. Sorry. I can't sing real high and real low like he did. Amen. Amen, Lisa. Very sobering. It's a reminder of the seriousness of the Christian faith. We need to be diligent, alert, and watchful. We also need to be mindful to pray for each other. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's call anybody else before we shut her down. No, they're not. Absolutely not. Sonny says, believers are not taught that spirits can affect them like this. Absolutely not. They live in a delusional world, totally detached from reality. And people like that guy I'm talking about tonight, he ain't helping at all. He ain't helping God's people at all. Amen, Bill. Rest not against flesh and blood. All right, guys. Well, thanks for coming. Thanks for sharing, everybody. We'll see you next week, God willing, and the river don't rise.